The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and we got college basketball coming your way tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. Florida State taking on Louisville. That's at 7 Eastern, and then we head to the Big 12 for the matchup of the night. Number 6, Kansas, taking on number 2, Baylor, in a Sonic blockbuster. So during this really busy time in sports, we got good college basketball coming your way tonight. We've got a lot of football conversation coming your way here. Greeny and Rex and Dan and Ryan Clark with you as we come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Shefty is here as well with the very latest on this very busy morning. Let's roll it here as we get ready for another hour of Get Up. And we're talking about Tampa Tom Brady. His third meeting with the Saints leads to his 14th championship game. How did they get this done? We start there. Meanwhile, Mr. Mahomes goes down. The Chiefs survive, setting up the biggest question of the NFL season. We have the very latest. That's with Shefty. And Shefty's got this too. The inside scoop on may well turn out to be the biggest trade in the history of the NFL. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now, Dan Orlovsky, with the matchup of the ages and the aged Brady and Breeze. Pick it up second quarter. Saints up 6-3. But then Breeze makes the first really big mistake of the night.
Yeah, two things. Internal pressure, physical man coverage. Pressure to force Breeze to move, and then the physical man coverage against the Saints wide receivers undercut that out route against Michael Thomas. Interception for Tampa.
Yeah, Sean Murphy bunting, who picks it off, and that sets up this. Mike Evans with the catch on Lattimore, and the Bucs take a 10-6 lead off the turnover. Then another coming your way, and this one clearly, Dan, oh no, this is Jameis Winston, This is Jameis Winston against his former team, his first ever playoff pass, and look at that.
Yeah, it's really stolen from last week. The Chicago Bears ran it, and Wims drops it. But this is a great job of using your best player, Alvin Kamara, as a decoy. Watch how many Bucks follow Kamara, leave the middle of the field. Tre'Quan Smith just kind of hangs out and then goes uncovered down the middle of the field. It's a great throw by Jameis. Touchdown, New Orleans.
And so it's 13-10 in favor of the Saints. Bucks will get a field goal. So we're tied at the half, and here we go. First possession of the second half on a 2nd and 10. It's Breeze again. It's Smith again. The Saints take the lead.
Yeah, I love the pace on the football. Air, you can bleed him all the way to that front pylon. Touchdown, New Orleans. A great throw by Drew.
But then, later in the third, here's the play that changes everything. Another turnover. This time they poke it away from Jared Cook.
It's a remarkable job by Winfield Jr. realizing the play's not over. Like, yeah, New Orleans got the completion. But watch the right hand. Punch right there. That ball comes out just from behind. It bounces into Tampa Bay's hands. This is a huge turnover for that defense.
Cook knows that the story of the day was the Saints turning the ball over and the Bucs taking advantage. It's Brady to Leonard Fournette. That ties it at 20, and Cook knows what a huge mistake it was. And here comes another, Dan, and clearly miscommunication.
Yeah, they're trying to really get vertical routes out of the backfield. Alvin Kamara is trying to go up that pass, but it's a great job of Devin White at linebacker, just playing with zone eyes on the quarterback and no wasted movement. Breeze goes to make that throw, and it's like a shot out of a cannon, triggered by Devin White, a huge interception.
And again, the Bucs are in business. Off the turnover, Brady converts himself. Referee's not giving him a high five, but Brady had everything else he wanted. Bucs take a 30-20 lead, and now the Saints in desperation time in the final 4 minutes. It's tipped, it's picked, it's over. In what probably was his final game as an NFL quarterback, one of the great players in history, Drew Brees throws 3 interceptions. Tom Brady, 3 total touchdowns, and the Buccaneers go on to win. So Tampa Tom, as mentioned, be playing in his 14th conference championship game, 7 more than Joe Montana, who was 2nd on the list. Montana, like Brady, left his home team and then got the Chiefs to the 1993 AFC title game before losing. So there's so much to get into here coming off of this game. And let's start by talking about the Bucs. It wasn't so long ago we were sitting here having these conversations. Their offense, they don't look like they have an identity. They don't know what they want to do. They're no risk it, no biscuiting it. What happened?
Yeah, and it drove me crazy and everybody else. But what I'm seeing now is Bruce Arians has complete faith in Tom Brady. And it's like, so much so, he took himself out of play calling duties. And that thing just, it's amazing. And what does Tom do? He goes in a game. He knows his defense is playing unreal. I'm going to just pound this football at you against this great Saint defense. No, I'm going to run it. In fact, we had more runs in this game, Tampa did, than the other two games combined. Mm-hmm. And who's calling those plays? Tom Brady is. You think, oh, he's just going to call a pass all the time? No, Tom Brady's about one thing only, and that's to win. And he does it better than anybody, obviously.
It really was an evolution, Dan. I want to pick up, I thought, as you watch this offense play, it really was, because we wondered, what will it eventually look like? Will it look more like Bruce Arians' offense, or will it look more like Tom Brady's offense from long before he came to Tampa? And there were times when there seemed to be a push-pull. And in the end, this is Brady's offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially over the last 6 or 7 weeks, you watch this offense transform into protection-based. How are they going to keep Tom Brady upright in the play-action pass and 6 and 7 man protection and allowing Tom to find the matchup that he loved one-on-one or kind of some of those layered throws? But yesterday was the run game and the kind of those receivers or tight ends winning. You know, we saw Cameron Brate have 4 or 5 big catches. We saw Scotty Miller on a double move, something notorious with who? Julian Edelman of the past. We saw Gronk in the red zone on a physical out route when Brady trusts that he's going to win those smash mouth kind of one-on-one matchups with the big body. And then the run game was, okay, New Orleans, we're going to force your secondary to come up and tackle us. And it got one good carry and then 2 good carries. And you saw this offensive line kind of take over and really change the line of scrimmage for Tampa Bay. And then I'd say this, Green, like yesterday was about talent. You know, it brought me back to in March mm-hmm. when Tom Brady chose the Buccaneers. We all talked about the talent, and their talent showed up. The football team's talent showed up, and when it does, they're tough to beat. And think of the offseason that their general manager, Jason Light, had. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski. You talk about Leonard Fournette. You talk about trading up to go get Tristan Wirfs, who yesterday was absolutely remarkable. Antoine Winfield Jr., the draft pick. Jason Light had a great day as well yesterday, just as much as the players did.
So, Ryan Clark, put it in perspective. Tom Brady, all of the accomplishments, what do we say of him this morning?
I think when you start to talk about organizations, Tom Brady's the greatest organization of all time. Tom Brady's in the conversation as an organization with the Steelers and with the 49ers, and right. He's better than the Dallas Cowboys. Had he been around or in existence for 100 years, you'd be saying that this was a total success. We'd be talking about the Brady family, who owns this team as the greatest group of ownership in the history of sports. That's who Tom Brady is. And then also you think about the Tom Brady effect. You think about the effect of losing 2 times to the New Orleans Saints. They lost those 2 games, and we continue to talk about you can't beat a team 3 times, and you know what happens when you play the 3rd time. You know what happened after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played the New Orleans Saints the 2nd time? Everything that they started to do was geared toward winning this game. It was geared toward figuring out why we couldn't beat the Saints. Yeah. The fact that we didn't protect Tom mm-hmm. Brady. How do we protect him better? The fact that defensively we sat back and we were picked apart to the tune of 38 points on our home field. All of those things went into how do we beat the New Orleans Saints? And by pushing toward beating the New Orleans Saints, they became a better football team. Mm-hmm. And so now you have Tom Brady, who dominated the AFC for 2 decades, having his team 1 game away from being the first team ever to host the Super Bowl in their home stadium. That's greatness. That's Tom Brady. He's one of the greatest to ever do it, to play the position. Yeah. But he's more than anything the greatest organization of all time.
Yeah, and I think that's well said. And it's actually not even overstating the point. And I can't believe, Rex, that I have to send you to this. But they won that game yesterday also because of their defense, right?
Oh, absolutely.
They played great.
Yeah, and Todd Bowles, Dan mentioned it, and Ryan talked about it. Look, the last time they played New Orleans, they gave up 81% completion percentage to Drew Brees. What'd they do? They got in their face, and, man, they challenged those wideouts. Nobody could get open. And the other thing is, Dan mentioned that internal pressure. That's how you have to play against Drew Brees. And let's face it, Drew's not the same guy he once was. But Todd Bowles, I tip my hat to you right there. Your guys played well. But I'm going to tell you, this young man right here, number 45, right, Devin White, what an unbelievable game he played.
Crazy.
He was crazy. And he's sideline to sideline, smashing people, But then he gets interceptions, he fumble recoveries, you name it. This guy right here, you talk about a game ball. Tom Brady, go ahead and give the game ball because that's your organization. You give the game ball to Devin White because that cat was amazing.
That was the story of the game yesterday. Brady was fine. But at the end of the day, they turned the ball over. They punched it in, they converted on those, and they didn't make big mistakes after that one in the first quarter. And that was it. That's the story of the day. And the Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with Tom Brady as their quarterback, are going to Lambeau Field to play Aaron Rodgers for the NFC Championship. We're just getting this hour started here. Much more football as we go. Andy Reid is our next conversation, showing complete confidence in Chad Henne after Mahomes went down yesterday. Why no one should be surprised at the most important call of the game. And then, if you didn't think it could get any better than Brady and Breeze, now we get Brady and Rodgers. Is Lambeau where Tampa's championship green will go to die? We'll answer that question next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, back on Get Up, and there's a Super Tuesday doubleheader coming on ESPN, and the at number 10 Tennessee in Gainesville take on the Gators at 7 Eastern. Then number 19 Duke squares off against Pittsburgh at the Peterson Event Center. That's coming your way tomorrow night on ESPN. Meanwhile, Browns and Chiefs yesterday. If you didn't see the action, well, here's what you missed. Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, third quarter. Here we go, Dan. This is the big moment, and it could change everything, even going forward. Patrick Mahomes going down, and he would only barely get up.
Yeah, Greeny, the weird thing was, like, you're waiting to see where's the big shot, and it never happens. But you can see he's wobbly getting up. Credit his teammates for making sure he was okay getting him off the field.
In came Chad Henne. Chiefs would be up 22-10 at the time. And Henne promptly, 22-17, throws this bad pick into the end zone. So the Browns get a shot at 3rd and 11, Dan. This is the play they're going to think about, I think, all offseason. Baker Mayfield on 3rd and 11, and they're well short.
Yeah, Chris Jones beats the best guard in football, Wyatt Teller, to force that ball to have to come out. And then it's just a really good job by the Chiefs defense. Ward leading the way, rallying and getting that tackle before the first down.
Maybe if Mahomes is in the game, they go for it on the fourth down. Yep. Instead, they punt it back, and Chad Henne on 3rd and 14. Browns had him right where they want him out of the two-minute warning. And Henne scrambles and almost gets it. And so, Dan, what do they decide to do on the fourth down?
Yeah, go to the best player left on the field, and that's Tyreek Hill. And I love the aggressive play by Andy Reid, the trust that that guy's not going to get covered. There's nobody left on the Cleveland Browns defense that can man him up one-on-one.
And so the Chiefs never give it back to the Browns, and Andy Reid walks off a winner. Again, 22-17, they will host the Bills in the AFC Championship game. Dan, that is the play maybe to this point of the year. Show us how they did it.
Yeah, first of all, they ended the Miami Dolphins game 2 months ago with this very similar play. But this is why Andy Reid trusts in his guys. Number one, intent. And number two, it only takes one step. So first of all, they moved it back out here. Now, exactly in this moment, in my group text, once I see this linebacker flow with him, you're going to see the linebacker fall. Once I see that in the group text, I said, it's game over. Here comes sprint right option because this is exactly what they want. The linebacker matching the back means it's going to be man-to-man coverage. Chad Henne in this moment knows it's game over. I'm running this play. But this is where intent comes in. Intent comes in because so often in these situations, what do we see, everybody? We see quarterbacks and offenses at the line of scrimmage trying to show the ball is going to get snapped, right? They're like hot, hot, trying to get the defense to jump offside. They're giving the intent that they're going to snap the ball. This doesn't look like they're going to snap the ball. This doesn't look like they're going to snap the football. They're trying to sell the intent that they're actually not going to snap the ball. And just focus on those people. Watch. As he brings the motion in, this doesn't look like the ball's going to get snapped. They're just trying to bleed the clock just in case it's zone or just in case it's a bad look. We can take a delay a game or take a timeout. Even in this moment, with 10 seconds left on the clock, it doesn't look like they're actually going to snap the ball. They're trying to sell that they are just going to let this clock bleed. And now this is when they lock in right here. And Tyreek Hill is number three, okay? He needs one step. He needs one step. You are going to see a sudden jab inside. When he moves inside, that defender has to move inside. And that's going to allow him to break away. Watch the one stab right there. Bop! That wins. Mm. No one in the league might be able to cover that from that number three spot. It's a great job of selling that they weren't going to snap the football and then trusting Tyreek Hill. That one step to win suddenly creates that space. Game over. Chiefs move on.
That's so good, Dan. That's so well done. And obviously, it takes a lot, and it takes a lot of courage. I mean, Rex, you're a head coach, and you've been there. Let's talk about what the confidence that he showed in Chad Henne there to do it. I mean, that is his backup quarterback. You're putting the season basically in his hands on that play. Take me through the thinking from a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's what blows you away. Obviously, if he has Patrick Mahomes, look, me, you, everybody watching the game, and Tony Romo would have been right that sure. they would have gone for it. They would have thrown the ball, right? But in this case here, no. And Dan's point, what a phenomenal job by Dan on that one, because he's right. If you just lined up in that formation, their final formation, you lined up with trips to the one side, the back to that side, everybody knows it's sprint pass. But what they did, mm-hmm. they brought it out, they shifted the back out, they motioned it back, and he jogs over. Then he gets in that final step. Defense has to play that with outside leverage. What the heck are you doing in that? Because you've got to defend the sprint pass and let the safety help on that over route. But they weren't prepared for it. Not surprising, by the way, with the Browns defense.
Interesting. RC, what did you see there? Did the Browns – should the Browns – Rex, it sounds to me like you're saying the Browns defense didn't get it right.
No, they absolutely didn't, right? But, I mean, look, I have a problem with the Browns defense anyway. But this one – this point, no. And Dan talked about it. Similar place. Tyreek Hill, he's done this thing in two other occasions.
Right. Yeah.
On the exact same game on the line situation. Now, look, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think they were going to – I thought they were going to punt it too. You got a backup quarterback.
Right.
But the way they saw that thing, oh, they're going to play straight man coverage with a safety in the middle of the field. What the hell is he doing?
RC, take me through it.
No, it's actually the perfect setup. And the way that Dan explained it is absolutely right. You motion your guy out. The reason you motion him out is you want to see yep. that it's man coverage. You also want to hide sprint formation. Mm-hmm. Rex knows this. Each and every week, we go through tips and tendencies. And in going through tips and tendencies, you know what sprint formation looks like. You know the setup. That's the setup for it, especially for the Kansas City Chiefs. There was no communication. There was no understanding. But more importantly, there was no anticipation mm-hmm. by the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns were exactly like Tony Romo. They are not going to snap this ball with Chad Henne in place at the quarterback position without Patrick Mahomes. But they did. Andy Reid believed in his quarterback. He believed in his team. More importantly, he believed in himself. And this is why they're in the AFC Championship.
I think that's right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard for me to criticize them. They were doing what I was doing, which was yelling, don't jump offsides. Whatever happens, just don't jump. They're just trying to try you offside. Just don't jump offside. And the next thing you know, Tyreek Hill has 2 yards, and the game and the season are over. That's an outstanding explanation. We continue as we roll on here with Get Up. Tom Brady taking the Bucs to Lambeau, where it looks like nothing can stop Aaron and the Packers. Well, not so fast. We've got the formula for the upset on the way. Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Rex Ryan, let's just take a moment and enjoy this catch by Tyler Johnson. Take us through your thoughts on this play.
Greeny, I don't know what to say, man. No wonder I'm the best in the business. I can't explain it. It's good. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
That's remarkable. The back shoulder throw.
Yeah.
But the athleticism to get out there.
Because, hey, look, Brady's usually right on your shoulder pad. He missed that one, but what an amazing catch.
What a play. Meanwhile, Brady moves on to face that man, Brady versus Rodgers. We're talking about the NFC Championship for the ages on the way. Get up on ESPN. My heart on my sleeve and I go
for the gold. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
No fighter in UFC history has ever been champion in two weight divisions at the same time.
Do not miss the next chapter in the career of the notorious Conor McGregor. It's UFC 257, Poirier and McGregor 2, live from Fight Island. It's Saturday, this weekend, January 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern, on UFC pay-per-view exclusively on ESPN+. All right, back to the NFL here in a matchup between the legendary Drew Brees and Tom Brady yesterday. And Dan, here comes the big mistake that Brees makes early at 6-3 Saints, but then the pick, and this is huge.
Yeah, it was a telling example of how this game was going to go, though, Greeny. You saw the internal pressure and then the aggressive, physical man coverage on the outside, undercut it, and then I love this to Evans. He stays in between the defensive back and Brady, and as long as you throw that ball up at that face mask, you can use that big body. Turnovers equal touchdowns.
Yeah, the story of the game is the Saints turning it over, like right there, and the Bucs punching it in. What happened on this play?
Yeah, it's a great job in zone coverage by Devin White of just reading Drew Brees. And when he wants to push that ball downfield, driving on it, and you see Brees shows that's a terrible decision.
And that leads to Brady taking it in himself, and the Bucs have a 30-20 lead. And then Drew Brees in what may well be his final moments as a National Football League player being picked. Again, he would throw three interceptions on the day. Tom Brady would account for three touchdowns. And in his first season in Tampa, Tom Brady has the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game where he will meet Aaron Rodgers. This will be the seventh playoff matchup between quarterbacks with multiple MVPs entering the game. Brady versus Peyton, the only other one we've seen in the last 15 years. You see some of the matchups that we have seen in the past. And so just as we sort of have our first look ahead to what will be one of the most hyped games we could ever possibly imagine. Yeah. Green Bay and Tampa Bay played week 6. Tampa Bay beat them 38-10. Aaron Rodgers has thrown only 5 interceptions the whole year. He threw 2 in that game. So, Rex, why should we think this is going to be different?
Well, I think it's going to be different because Green Bay's defense is playing a heck of a lot better mm-hmm. right now than they did during that time. And Devontae Adams was coming off an injury, been out for a couple of weeks, and that offense just looked out of sync. They really did. Now, I get where you're coming from. As dominant as Tampa's defense looked, I mean, Todd Bowles is going to do this with the game plan. Blow the dust off it. All right, boys, this is what we're going to run again because it looked like they could have stayed out there for a week and Green Bay done nothing in that game. So I don't expect a whole lot of changes from Todd Bowles and company this week. But I think Green Bay, they are playing at such a high level right now. I think it's the game's definitely going to be different than it was the last.
Both these teams are. How is it different, Dan Orlovsky? How is that game different from what this one is going to be?
Well, Rodgers isn't going to turn the ball over like that. Second of all, Matt LaFleur is going to study that tape and go, okay, what were we not good at? You know, that was really when their pre-snap or at the snap motion was rolling, and Tampa Bay was the first team to kind of counter it where they blitzed off the motion. So he's going to have answers for that.
I promise you he will have a much better plan for their blitz package, because they didn't really have a good plan for the blitz package when they met in week six. I'd expect a lot of perimeter screens versus it for Green Bay's offense. And I think these teams are very different than they were two and a half, three months ago, where conceptually, schematically, personnel-wise, this will be a fantastic football game. And also, this game's in Green Bay. It's not in Tampa Bay. That is a huge factor for Tampa Bay's offense and their success.
Yeah, they haven't played a real cold weather game. At Washington a couple of weeks ago, but they haven't played a real cold weather game in a while. So, RC, we come to you. You have played against Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. You have played against Tom Brady in championship games. Give us your sense of these two legends going head-to-head on Sunday.
I mean, this is my favorite matchup of the weekend, and obviously there's only two, but I know a lot of people are interested in the young guns on the other side. These are the two best quarterbacks I ever faced during my career, and it was for different reasons. Tom was always ahead. Tom always understood where the blitz was coming, where the open man would be. But when you play a guy like Aaron Rodgers, none of that stuff matters. And I remember watching Aaron Rodgers in 2010, 2011, 14, and thinking to myself, he could never play better than this. I've never seen a quarterback more efficient, more comfortable, until I watched Aaron Rodgers play this year. He is in full control of this offense right now. And it seemed that early on in the season, he thought and he believed that this team could be good. But now he knows. Now he knows what Alan Lazard brings to the team. Now he knows what Robert Tonyan can be. We finally saw a three-headed monster at running back last week or this week against the Los Angeles Rams. This is a different team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a different team. But these are two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time playing at the biggest moment of this season. And we have to cherish this. We have to relish this. And the one thing that's different about this week than last week against the Saints is that number 12 from the Green Bay Packers still has it. And he has it in bunches. And it's going to be fun to watch these two legends battle.
Go ahead, Dan.
I just think the stress that Green Bay's offense is going to be very different than what they gave him in week six as well. Like, this is an offense that is going to stress them defensively, Tampa, way more than New Orleans did. I mean, the ability to push the ball downfield with Alan Lazard, we saw it against Green Bay. Rodgers' ability to get outside the pocket and move. Remember, like, that's not something that Drew's able to do. You got to cover the tight ends. And this is going to be a physical run game. This is a run game that has really developed both physically and also scheme-wise to get the ball to perimeter. So, you know, this is a team in Green Bay that has really learned a lot about itself over the past 2.5 months. And, again, this is going to be a remarkable football game by both talent-wise and the coaching.
Coincidentally, but at least interestingly to me, both games this weekend are rematches of games that were played the same weekend. Yeah. Week six, on Sunday, the Buccaneers blew out the Packers, and then on Monday, in one of the rescheduled games, Kansas City beat Buffalo. So we will see all these weeks later these two teams going head-to-head again. All right, let's go on the clock with a bunch of things we haven't had a chance to get to here. Let's start, Rex, with you, and let's talk about the Cleveland Browns, who obviously had a remarkable season. But what is the one thing they need to do this offseason if they want to make it farther next year? 30 seconds ago.
They got to focus on their defense. They got to improve. They got to improve schematically. As much as their offense improved schematically, they got to do the same thing defense. Take a hard look at what you're doing. Now, look, you've got tremendous players. You got Denzel Ward. You've got the best defensive end in football in Myles Garrett. You have Sheldon Richardson. You have all these good players. We may add one or two players, but schematically is where this team can improve.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, they put together a really good year, and we'll talk about some of the improvements they've made. Dan Orlovsky, next up is you. We are waiting to see the situation on Patrick Mahomes, and it will be several days before we know for sure whether or not he can play this weekend. So my question is, if he doesn't play, can Kansas City win? 30 seconds, go.
No. If Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, Kansas City can't win. This is a remarkable team. They got great coaching. They're playing against a team that is just as good. They're just as explosive. They're just as well coached in the Buffalo Bills. And to ask this football team to somehow, over the course of 60 minutes, shut down Josh Allen and shut down Stephon Diggs and shut down Cole Beasley and playing against this defense in Buffalo that's playing really good without the best player in football is too much to ask. I expect Patrick Mahomes to play, but if he doesn't, Buffalo goes to the Super Bowl.
Okay, fair enough. I think it's almost impossible to disagree with that, with as well as the Bills have been playing. All right, RC, here's one no one is expecting. My question to you is Kendrick Perkins' son going to be a better NBA player than his father? Go.
No disrespect to Big Perk right now. His son is a better offensive player right now. I'm pretty sure the three-pointer that Kendrick put on his IG is a three-pointer that he has never hit. There was a block, and then he goes down and he makes plays. This dude is this. He's already his father's size right now, and he has better hair. This dude is a flat-out baller. Let me tell you what, if I'm at the AAU tournament and this kid walks out on the floor against my kid, the first thing I'm screaming, I'm becoming that parent. Where's his birth certificate? And y'all know Big Perk is going to be disgruntled about having to go find it, but I'm going to make him find it. You are not going to be out there embarrassing children that way. Right now, Big Perk, his son, one-on-one, I'm putting all my money on his son. Let's go, Junior.
Carry on.
I'm completely That was Kendrick Perkins' son. We'll get Big Perk in here this week as we continue. Meanwhile, this is important. Deshaun Watson wants out. Which team can put together the right deal? You got the answers to that question next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we got 2 big games for you tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. At 6-2, Florida State in college basketball squaring off against number 16, Louisville. That's at 7 Eastern. Then we head to the Big 12 for the matchup of the night. Number 6, Kansas, taking on number 2, Baylor in a sonic blockbuster. It's a good night of hoops on ESPN, and you can see all the action on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here. This is Get Up on ESPN. Greeny and Rex Ryan, Adam Schefter, Dan Orlovsky, and Ryan Clark are with us as well. We're with you commercial-free for the next 15 minutes, right up to the top of the hour, and that's when First Take will take over here on ESPN. They're coming up. Should we be impressed by Tampa's performance or more disappointed with the way the Saints played on Sunday? Stephen A., Max, and Molly will debate that topic and a whole lot more. Again, they're 15 minutes away here on ESPN. We are with you commercial-free until then, and we're talking about this. Multiple people in and around the Texans organization believe that Deshaun Watson has played his last snap with that team. That is according to our insider, Adam Schefter. Watson upset about the Texans' hiring process and any number of other things. Let's actually find out the very latest from Adam Schefter, who is with us this morning. Schefter, for those just joining us, catch us up. Where do we stand right now with Deshaun Watson, his relationship with the Texans, and his future?
Greeny, it's early in the offseason. The Texans just hired their general manager recently, Nick Caserio. They don't even have a head coach yet. So we are fast-tracking this. The Texans aren't. But the fact of the matter is there is a belief in league circles that Deshaun Watson won't play again for the Texans, that he can request a trade, and if he doesn't ask for a trade, he then can ultimately decide to withhold his services. Whatever direction this story winds up going, it's not in a favorable one for the Texans. Maybe they can try to salvage the relationship with the head coach they choose to hire. But again, as Chris Mortensen said over the weekend, this is not an issue about the organization. They can't change Cal McNair. And as long as Cal McNair is there, Deshaun Watson might not want to be there. So this is beyond certain people. This is bigger than that. I think Deshaun Watson has done a deep dive into the organization, its history, the way it has handled itself this offseason, the way it's handled itself in other seasons. He doesn't like right now what he has seen, what he has heard, and I think he's interested in moving on. And this becomes like an NBA situation because of the no-trade clause in his contract. The Texans can say, we want to trade you to Team X. You come up with the team. Deshaun Watson ultimately has to sign off on that because of the no trade. So therefore, if he doesn't like the place he's being dealt, he could say, I'm not reporting there. No trade. He controls it, not the Texans. And it's going to be a situation that is going to hang over this offseason and I think going to be the biggest NFL offseason storyline as we prepare to head into it.
Now, to make it clear, he just had one of the great seasons in NFL history. That is a literal statement for a team that went 4-12. But it sounds to me like you're saying, I want to make sure we're clear here, this is not as much about what happens on the football field as it is interpersonal relationships and things like that at the very apex of the organization.
Accurate. And as Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN.com, noted over the weekend, team officials have reached out to Deshaun Watson in recent days. He has gone silent and returned none of their texts. Again, another sign of where this is all going.
And he did tweet. It was on a 2, and then it was up to a 10, which is something, Shefty, you had said last week, and Deshaun himself tweeted that over the weekend. So he's not even making this a secret publicly. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think?
I don't think Deshaun ever plays for the Texans again. I've felt that way for a couple weeks. I don't think he should. He's got every right to feel the way that he feels. And this reminds me of that quote, what you do in darkness will always come to the light. There's been a lot of shady stuff that seems to have been going on for Houston. And there's deeply rooted issues with that organization, with how they treat their players, star players. And the reality that Deshaun Watson has just decided to expose it. And this is alienating your best player, the leader of your organization, the face of your franchise. It's also alienating your city. It's alienating your fan base. You're going to alienate the future free agents that have the opportunity to come play for your organization. And you've chosen to choose Jack Easterby, who I don't know a lot about, over Deshaun Watson. But I know this. I've talked to some people that are attached to that organization, and I've asked questions. And it's worse than it's being reported. It's worse than that can be said on television. It's a very bad situation. And I don't think we need to run from the reality that this is deeply rooted. And Deshaun Watson, this is not an ego thing. This is a necessity. He needs to get out of that organization. J.J. Watt needs to get out of that organization.
Yeah.
It's a poorly run place. And their star players need to get out because they're getting ruined.
R.C.?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's 2021. We know what would happen with this relationship if it was a relationship that we could see in reality, right? Deshaun Watson would have to unfollow the Houston Texans. He'd have to erase all pictures of the Houston Texans off of his social media just so we know that they ain't kicking it like that anymore. And that's where this thing is. That's why he's not returning texts. That's why he's not communicating. Where was the communication when you told me it would be there, Cal McNair? Where was the communication when you were making these decisions that were opposite of what the firm that you hired and paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to? Where was that communication then? Where was the communication when Omar Khan of the Pittsburgh Steelers or Louis Riddick of our ESPN colleague were the top two candidates this firm gives you and you go hire Nick Casario? That's where this thing is. He's been lied to. He's been mistreated. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the history of this organization, the separation of ownership and labor in this organization, it is so ironic that now all the power rests with Deshaun Watson. You're waiting for Deshaun Watson to return calls. You're going to have to wait for Deshaun Watson to okay a trade. The power has shifted, and Deshaun Watson should use every single bit of it to get out of Houston as fast as he can.
And so, Rex, again, you were a coach in the NFL a long time. Getting a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, especially that he fell to them, if you really look back at it, he was the third quarterback drafted the year that he came in. It's like a miracle. It's like a miracle befalling your organization. Rex, how do you see this thing? As your coach, I mean, you're sort of watching this thing play out. How do you see it, and where does it go from here?
Yeah, as a coach, this just, I mean, boggles my mind, Greeny, because I'm looking at, you know, I never had a quarterback like this. I coached for 30 years. Never had anybody close to this. And not taking away from the guys I had, but let's face it, it ain't close.
Yeah.
And so, to me, I'm like, how in the heck can it get this bad? Like, you know, so sitting it from afar, I can't, I've been in some bad situations, nothing even close to have a quarterback like this. And here's the thing that really gets me. At some point, Deshaun felt okay enough to say, look, I don't even want to be traded. You're giving me this money, you know, put a no trade clause in, all that. Well, now it's come back to where it's like, oh no, forget it. I got to get out. Like, this blows me away, and I just can't fathom it. I really
can't. Bear in mind, he signed a contract extension during the last offseason. Very quickly, I need to come back to Shefty. what sense, if any, do we have of where we should be looking? Yes, I mean, the point has been made. Every team in the league practically would benefit from getting him, but where should we be looking right off the bat?
See, you can bring up the fact that every team in the league should be looking at him, and I agree. And you could bring up that the Houston Texans have already begun to have some internal conversations about what the quarterback position would look like if they were to move on from Deshaun Watson, and that's fine. But ultimately, as I pointed out, Deshaun Watson gets to basically choose where Deshaun Watson wants to go. Mm. He holds the power. Now, there may be a couple of teams. There's been some talk about the Miami Dolphins, who've got a lot of ammunition. He spends a lot of time in New York. Who knows how this plays out exactly? But Deshaun Watson gets to dictate where he goes. Now, there may be a few teams in play and a few teams that he's open to, and he can try to work with the Texans if he's willing. But when they gave him the no-trade clause in the contract, they gave him the power to dictate where this is going. And that may mean the Texans don't get to make the best deal, and that may mean this turns into a game of chicken. But Deshaun Watson's going to win that game of chicken because the Texans need Deshaun Watson a lot more than he needs the Houston Texans.
Well, we have at this point something like 2 months before free agency begins, and then the draft is 6 weeks after that, and the whole thing is going to get very interesting. Shefty, outstanding. Thank you. We'll keep you close. Meanwhile, let's run the hurry up. Look into the future of some of the franchises that were eliminated this weekend. Rex Ryan, what does the future hold for New Orleans?
Well, Greeny, I don't know if it's going to be Jameis Winston at quarterback, Taysom Hill, but what I do know, I have 100% complete confidence that Sean Payton will get it done. Look, he's was 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater as a quarterback. Taysom Hill, I believe, 3-1 as a starter this year. I mean, he's going to get it done some way, somehow. We're going to miss Drew Brees, but he'll get it done.
Okay, I like that. Meanwhile, RC, how about the Browns? What does the future hold for them?
You have answered questions. I've heard Dan say time and time again, it's about getting a head coach and a quarterback, and you absolutely know you have both. I watched Baker Mayfield not only mature as a player this year, but as a person, as a leader. And when you watched how he played yesterday in the divisional round of the playoffs, the accuracy, the leadership, the heart, you have your guy.
And then, Dan, we go to Baltimore. What does the future hold for the Ravens?
Well, they're obviously going to have conversations with Lamar about a contract extension this offseason. But I'm going to give you two names that they need to go get, Allen Robinson and or Kenny Golladay. If they want this offense to take the next step, their offensive passing game to the next step, so they can get back to an AFC title game run and a Super Bowl run, they need to advance the passing game, go get those two number one wide receivers.
Okay, you know what? That actually plays into our next thing perfectly, because we're going to finish it up today with some takes from me, and we'll get people's reaction to it, and we will start in that spot and with that game. When Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen played against each other on Saturday night, they're quarterbacks from the same draft class who came in with some of the same questions about them. They were both obviously extraordinarily talented, great athletes, questions about their ability in the passing game. The statement I'd like to make here today is the biggest difference between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen right now is named Stephon Diggs. So, Dan, to the point you just made, you go get that guy for Lamar Jackson, he might look a lot more like Josh Allen does next year.
Yeah, Greeny, absolutely. I actually remember when they drafted 2 years ago, they drafted Hollywood Brown. Their coach, Harbaugh, said, well, this gives us the vertical threat and it's going to open up so much more of our offense. It hasn't happened. Hollywood hasn't developed to being that number one receiver. Now, if you go get a Stephon Diggs type of player, again, Allen Robinson, Kenny Golladay, or maybe it's a draft pick again, now that Lamar has a guy that he can look to and say, okay, it's man coverage, that guy's going to win. I could throw the ball somewhere in the vicinity of that receiver, and he'll go make that play. I'll have the confidence that he can go make that play. When you play the style of offense that they're going to play in Baltimore for the next decade with Lamar, you've got to have a receiver that is going to be able to win the one-on-one matchups. They have yet to find that since Lamar's become their quarterback.
I think that's exactly right. Let me get to my next one here. And this one, RC, I will give to you because there's a most improved player award that the writers give. The league doesn't officially have a most improved player award. And I think most people would think that Josh Allen was the most improved player in the league this season. If I had a vote, I would give it to Baker Mayfield. You know, RC, and I'm thinking back to the conversations we had about him last season. I believe the word bust was used about Baker Mayfield last year. And all of a sudden, you just said it, and I agree with you. The Browns are set at quarterback going forward. I thought he played great. I thought he was the most improved player in the NFL this year.
You know what, Greeny, I think you're right. And I think you're right for two reasons. One, obviously the play on the field has improved, but he's improved as a person. He's improved as a leader. He's gotten it under control, that competitiveness, and he's focused it on the football field, on his team. And when you think about the stretch run down the stretch of the season for the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans, the Baltimore Ravens game, obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers game, the win to end the season and the playoff win, it's all been about Baker Mayfield's maturity, Baker Mayfield's growth as a player, but more importantly, as the quarterback, as the face of the franchise. And when I remember being on your show during draft week, and I said Baker Mayfield should be the number one overall pick. I thought that he was the guy. I thought he had the goods. Now he shows the accuracy. Now he shows the movement. Now he shows the understanding that you need to have to play that position. They need to work on an extension for Baker Mayfield because he did everything he needed to do to improve, and he showed you everything you needed to see from him to be your franchise quarterback of the future.
And Rex, where did it start?
It started on our show. And it did when we're sitting back there and you talk about him being criticized and all that. And I said he was overrated as hell because he was at the time. But you know what? Ryan talked about how he's matured. That's what I see in this guy. That's the greatest improvement he's made. And to me, it started on our show. I told you, Greeny, I'm like, I believe everything he said.
Yep.
And you know, I could tell a phony. He wasn't a phony. It was important to him, and he went out and made a difference himself, and that's a huge credit to Baker Mayfield.
Talking about when he was with us at the Super Bowl this past year, and you and he had that meeting. All right, my last one is this, and it's not even just exclusively about the call in the game yesterday, but Drew Brees is probably going to retire now with only one Super Bowl championship, and part of the reason for that is because of a horrendous call that every single person who's ever seen a football game knows cost him a chance to go to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. There's no reason every play in the NFL should not be reviewable. It wouldn't slow anything down because you still have a limited number of challenges. So, Dan Orlovsky, my final take today is every play in a National Football League game should be reviewable, and yesterday was just another example of that.
Yeah, I disagree. It's definitely going to slow things down. I also like, you're the guy who complains that we've blown up instant replay to try to make things perfect. The same thing that could be said for so many plays. Like, I don't want to slow down bang, bang plays. And, like, listen, I know the Sorensen play was very
bad controversial. Call. Obvious right? One. Could have been overturned instantly by replay. Go ahead.
Controversial. But at the end of the day, like, I know RC knows, like, these are football plays in many aspects. Yes, you can get that one out of the game.
Yeah.
I don't want every play reviewable.
That's insane to me. Again, yeah, I will. Like most geniuses, I guess I will not be fully appreciated until long after my time because it wouldn't slow anything down. You still limit the number of challenges that they have. It wouldn't change the number of plays that get reviewed in a game. All right, we'll have to leave it there. Once again, Dan, I appreciate it, despite how wrong you are. RC, awesome. Rex, awesome. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds, but the fun continues with First Take here now.